good. All right, open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. The name of this particular study is called Strategy. Strategy. And you'll probably understand it when we're done. But go to Colossians 1 and 16. And we are going to go to John and read a bunch of verses so some of the brothers can be ready to read later on when I ask you. That'd be great. Colossians chapter 1 and verse, let's start with verse 13 and 14. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. And he, Jesus, delivered us from the domain of darkness, or the kingdom of darkness, and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, that is Jesus, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And turn over to Philippians 3 and verse 20. 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's it. The strategy. The reason I call this strategy is because you have to understand that in the Bible, it's made very clear that there's only two kingdoms, and that's all there is. Jesus is the king of heaven, right? The kingdom of heaven, and Satan is the king of this world. Satan is the king of this world. So in the text that we read, it says that Jesus transferred us, or saved us, took us away from Satan's kingdom and brought us into his kingdom. Right? But there's no other kingdom. You either belong to the kingdom of Satan or to the kingdom of Jesus. And consequently, because this is true, both kings have a strategy. Right? Okay, how many of you young guys like war and to strategize? No, anybody? Anybody here? No, nobody? Some of the older guys do. All right, Mike and Bob over here. Well, my brothers and I, we always liked war when we were growing up, and we were trying to strategize. It was either against the Indians or against the Germans or somebody, right? But we were always trying to plan out. So what you have to understand is that both kings, because Satan is the king of this world, all right, prince of the power of the air, both kings have a strategy. Right? And you have to understand that as you approach life, all right? Now, young people, I want you to understand that Satan has a strategy, and his strategy is this, right? That his job, his number one job, is that even though he can't steal you back, because once you're saved, you can't lose your salvation, he can make you love his kingdom and serve his kingdom, even though you don't belong to it, all right? And so the strategy from Jesus is to get you to steal people from his kingdom, from Satan's kingdom, so they can be saved from hell, right? That's Jesus' strategy, to use you and I, all right, to save people from the kingdom of Satan and bring them into the kingdom of light, all right? So then the Bible calls Jesus' kingdom the kingdom of light. And what does he call Satan's kingdom?
Darkness.
Darkness, that's right. So, darkness. So one thing I told all of my children when they were little, my wife and I would constantly tell them that the only reason God gave you to us and that we were able to help you understand that you needed to be saved, to believe in Jesus Christ, the only reason that God did this was that so that we can train you so that you can steal people from the kingdom of darkness, from the kingdom of sin, and bring them into the kingdom of light. Amen? That's the only reason. He didn't save you just so that you could make money or become an athlete or become a movie star or whatever you want to be. Yeah, that's not why he saved you. Now, we need to have jobs and become doctors or whatever, carpenters, in order to live. But the reason that you live, that you need to do that just to pay bills, right? But the reason you live is to steal, watch, follow me now. I'm going to ask you in a minute to steal people from the kingdom of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of light. That's the strategy. That's the strategy. Okay, now, if the kingdom of darkness can't steal you back, what the kingdom of darkness is going to do is everything he can to get you to love and obey him. All right? So here's what we need to understand. That there's two kings, there's two strategies, right? And watch this next, okay? Now, this kingdom of light has this issue, and this is what makes it difficult, that it's this. That it's what? What is it? Invisible. What is this kingdom over here? It's the opposite, right? It's visible. Did I spell that right? V-I-S-A-B-L-E? Yes? Visible? Yes or no? I even have it spelled correctly here, but anyway. All right. So, what makes it difficult is that every day, when you go to school, when you go to work, when you walk in a neighborhood, the kingdom Satan's kingdom is visible. Every time you turn on the TV, you turn on the computer, everywhere you go, you can see the sin, you can see the allurement. It's visible. I can see it, I can touch it, and it's there. And Satan dangles it, check it out, you know? But what you can't see on this side, and this is where the battle is that you has anybody seen Jesus? Yet the Bible says you love him though you haven't what? Seen him, right? First Peter. And so we haven't seen him, but we know he's true, amen? Right? Would you die for him? Nobody said amen. Would you die for him?
I hope so.
That's right. Because we have believed with all of our heart that there's a real Jesus that died on the cross, that resurrected to save us from sin and hell. Amen? Right? Okay, and so the problem is that everything he offers you is future and invisible. I'm offering you all kinds of blessing. I'm offering you joy. I'm offering you, blessings and prosperity in the spiritual realm. But Satan said, yeah, what's that? You can't see it or touch it. Look what I have to offer. You can have it now. All right? And so, which leads us to the next one. This one is temporal. I need somebody short to right here. All right? Temporal? I'm sorry. Take that back.
Correct that reverse.
This one's temporal. Now I'm spelling everything wrong. All right, let me fix this. All right? So, this one is temporal. Right, this is temporal, and this one's what?
Eternal.
Eternal, that's right. Eternal. I should have had this elevated height. Okay, now, here's the thing. This one, everything that Satan offered is right now. Right now, you can have sex and you can enjoy it right now. Right? Remember when Satan tempted Jesus, what did he say? Go ahead, I'll give you all the kingdoms. And right now. It was now. And so that's what makes it so difficult. That Jesus says, you have to wait. You have to wait. Satan said, why wait? I want it now, and I want to enjoy it now, and why can't I, go with that person, and why can't I do that thing, and why can't I, and that's a temptation, right? That's the whole point. And Satan knows that. So in many ways, he's got an advantage, because we're all visual people. At least I'm very extremely visual. When I see something, I want it. Am I the only one?
Yes.
Am I the only one?
Yes.
When I see it, yes? I'm the only one that admits it.
Hallelujah.
I'm the only one that admits it. Everybody else won't admit it. But I don't know about you, but ever since I was little, like Samson, what's the first words that came out of Samson's mouth? I saw a woman. I saw a woman.
And I want her.
I saw a woman and I want her. But Samson, God has a special purpose for you, and he's going to use you in a parking lot. But I saw a woman, I want her now. And see, that's the issue. And so, when you're young, and it doesn't change when you get older, by the way. It doesn't change. I thought it would, but it didn't. Right? And so Satan is going to do this. He's going to try to lure you to do it now. You know, you can have these pleasures, you can have these blessings, all these things now. Power, prestige, fame. All right? And so Jesus is saying, no, not now. Right now you suffer. Right now you deny yourself. Right now you have to restrain yourself and discipline yourself because everything's coming in the future. Well, who likes that? Right? And that's the whole thing. And so, we know that this is temporal. All right, so the Satan has a strategy, and it's this. I'm going to tell you one more time. That you would fall in love with him and everything he has to offer you because it's visible and it's now. It's temporal. You can have it right now. All right? But the Bible says at the end, there's destruction, right? It's going to tear you up. It's going to kill you. Right, so Jesus, knowing that if he doesn't rescue you from here, you're going to go to hell. And so he came to die on the cross to rescue us from that so we can belong to him. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. That in this strategy, in this battle that we're in, so many Christians, even though they've been rescued, they're in love with Satan's kingdom. They're in love with it. Because it's there, it's luring, it's tempting. You can have it now, and it's visible. I can feel it. I can taste it. I enjoy it, right? And that's the battle. And so what Jesus is doing is he saves you. He gives you the Holy Spirit to empower you, so that you can go out there and try to reach the lost one and bring them into his kingdom. But that's no fun. That involves getting insulted, right? Getting marginalized, shunned, laughed at. That means that you can't do certain things. You have to restrain yourself. And so Satan says, especially to the young people, why in the world do you want to do that? You see, it's boring to be a Christian. God is holding you back. And so we're in this battle. We're in this battle of the two kings. All right, now listen. There's two kings, right? There's two kingdoms. There's two strategies, but there's only one. One what? What is there? One what?
One God.
One loyalty. Where you can only love one. You can only love one at a time. Now, this trying to be both, nobody takes that. All right? As for example, if I tell my wife, you know, honey, there's a lot of other women. And I know you're mine, but you know, that other one looks good too. And so what about if I love her a little bit too? And I love you. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not leaving you, but man, she sure is attractive. Oh, that's okay, honey. Is that what my wife would say? Yeah, go ahead. It's no big deal. Is that what she would say to me? Bindu, would you say that to Abe? Huh? I would. Right? Well, that doesn't make sense. And yet, Satan says, "Hey, listen, you can go ahead and love Jesus, but you can love me too. You can love everything I have to offer. It doesn't work." So there's two kings, two kingdoms, right? Two strategies, but only one loyalty. Say it. One what? You can't, and Jesus said, you can't love the world and love me. It's impossible. All right? So let's continue. All right, now, both want to use you for their kingdom. So you can't put blinders on and pretend it's not true. Satan wants to use you for his kingdom, even though you belong to Jesus. And Jesus wants to use you to steal from his kingdom. Right? And so Satan's going to do everything to prevent you from stealing his soldiers. And you're going to do everything you can to take them away. Right? And so Satan says, all right, so you stole one of mine. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make that one you stole love me, even though you stole him away from me. So that you won't serve the king. Right? So he's going to basically be a traitor. Even though he doesn't belong to my kingdom. So both want to use you for their kingdom. All right? Both want your loyalty, and both want your worship. All right, well, what do they want? Both want your what?
Worship.
Nice and loud. Both want my worship. Alright? Don't misunderstand that. Satan wants you to worship him, and he's going to do it by attracting you to everything that's visible and temporal. And that's how he gets you to worship him. And so they both want that worship. Both want your time. Both want your loyalty. And want you to serve their kingdom. Alright, now, what is the world's attitude towards Jesus and the kingdom of light? What is the world's attitude towards Jesus and the kingdom of light? Go to the Gospel of John. We're going to look at a bunch of verses. So go to John. We're going to start with chapter 12. So go to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. All right, and look at verse 25. John 12, 25. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. 12:31. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world shall be cast out. That's Satan, right? Okay, 14 and 30. Chapter 14 and 30. And I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. He has nothing in me. 15 and 18, chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. Chapter 16 and verse 11. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world, Satan, has been judged. 14 and 17, go back a little bit. Chapter 14 and verse 17. That is the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. That is Jesus, the King. But you know him, Jesus, because he abides with you and will be in you. All right, look at chapter 16 and verse 20. Truly, truly, I say to you, will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. And look at finally 16 and 30. 16 and 30. Now, we know that you know all things, and you have no need for anyone to question you. By this, we believe that you came from God. And Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming, has already come, for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. So what is the attitude of the kingdom of Satan versus the kingdom of Jesus? How does it see it? The Bible says it, what? It hates me. So Satan and everybody that belongs to him hates Jesus. Now isn't that why the Apostle Paul was persecuting the church? Because they were saying that Jesus is God? That he's the true king of the world? That he's the savior? And Paul was just so, how could you say that? And he hated Jesus. And then Jesus appears to him. He says, hey, wait a minute, Paul. Why are you persecuting me? I am God. I am the king. Repent and come to me. And he did. And he turned to Jesus. But he hated him. The world hates Jesus. But you know what I find? That a lot of times, especially when you grew up in a church, a lot of the Christians, they don't hate the world. They don't hate the world. So the world indeed hates Jesus. John 7:7 says, because his deeds are evil. His deeds are evil. So what is the motto of the world? What is the motto of Satan's kingdom of darkness that's visible and temporal? Here's what it is. The motto is lust, greed, pride, and groping for things. First John 2, let's go there. You're probably familiar with this passage, but let's take a look at it. First John 2. First John chapter 2. All right, and let's look at 15 through 17. Now look at what Jesus is saying to us. It's pretty clear. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All right, let me give you a quick definition of the world. The world, the cosmos, is that organized system headed up by Satan, which leaves God out and is a rival to him. All right? So basically, Satan and the world say this: I don't need God. I don't want God. I don't want him to tell me what to do. I want to do my own thing. I want to sin. I want to lust. I want to be greedy. I want fame and power. And I want it now. And God is in my way. And so we hate him because he's trying to take it away from us. That's what they live for. Right? And so that's why the Bible says to us, don't love the world. Because why? Because it hates Jesus. Right? It hates Jesus Christ. And so look at the Bible then. For verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. And so now we see then in this strategy why Satan hates us and why the Bible says we shouldn't love Satan's kingdom. Because it's totally the opposite of what God wants. Now, it says there's three reasons, three things that the world does that attracts us. First of all, it's the lust of the flesh, right? What is the lust of the flesh? What's the lust of the flesh? The lust of the body, if you will. Right, what does your body want? Come on.
Food. Satisfaction.
Satisfaction? What else?
Food.
Food. Right, a lot of it. I'm starting to get a bellyache. I'm biting it, right? So, food. What else?
Honoring.
Who?
You're looking to be honored.
Honored. Right? It wants acknowledgement.
Yes.
Have you noticed how great I am? Right? And so, people do all kinds of surgeries to look better. And you know, they walk around like this or like this. Right? Because they want to get noticed. They want to get noticed. It's this, who am I? What am I living for? And it's all about the body. The body wants to sin. The body loves sinful stuff. Right? And that's what it means by the flesh, the body. The body, sensualism or pleasures or desires. That's what it wants. That's what it, the lust of the flesh, that's what it means. All right, secondly, it says the lust of the eyes. Let's put it this way, success or profit or materialism. All right? So, let's see, I'm going to quote, though I forgot to put the dude's name that actually wrote it. So, but somebody else said it, I'm just quoting it, but it was fantastic. It's a world of academia, the world of arts, the world of dress and fashion. It's the love of knowledge divorced from the love of truth. It's a love of beauty divorced from the love of goodness. It's a love of fashion without a love for holiness and modesty. It's greed and desire for things that are aroused by seeing them. So in other words, if you live to keep up with the Joneses, the world has you trapped. The world has you trapped. So that's what it means by the lust of the eyes. Somebody else has it, I want it too. Right? So then the next thing it says is the boastful pride of life. That is status or power or prestige. It's vainglory, display or boasting about one's possessions. It's pride, which belongs to or derives from possessing stuff. It's a desire to show off and make others look small because of what you have. So this, the Bible says, is the world personified. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And what do you see every day when you turn on TV? You know? We don't want God. Get out of here. We hate holiness. We hate purity. We want to be homosexual. We want to, you know, be adulterers. We want to do our own thing. I want money, I want prestige, I want to do all these things and get out of my life, God. And that's what it says. Because it hates Jesus and the light and everything it stands for. And that's why the Bible says, you know, don't love the world, because it's everything opposite of the kingdom which you belong to. And so notice the text then, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, not from God above, but it is from the world. And the world is passing away, temporal, and also it's lust, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. And so the Bible is saying clearly, Satan and the kingdom of darkness is a visible kingdom that you can see. So it allures and attracts us, right? Because it appeals to my eyes and to the desires of my body and to the pride of life. We're so prideful, aren't we? Who here doesn't struggle with pride? And Satan knows that. And he fills us with pride. All right, and so that's the love of the world is loving those things. The Bible says, don't love that. Don't love that. In fact, Satan and his people hate the King Jesus. How in the world are you going to love the enemy of Jesus, the King of darkness? Hate him. You should hate Satan and his kingdom. You should hate the world and all of this stuff that it offers. And it's a tremendous battle. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to the world. In other words, change the way you think. Don't look like the world. There should be a distinction. There should be a distinction in the way we live. Conform means this. Don't look like it. Don't think like it. Don't act like it. Don't sing the same song. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. So, what are you looking like? What are you thinking like? What are you singing? James chapter 4, turn there. James 4. And verse 3 and 4, notice how he puts it. James chapter 4 and verse 3 and 4, he puts it this way. I'll give you a second to find it. James 4, verse 3 and 4. You ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself, what does it say? An enemy of God. An enemy of God. Wow. So if you love the world and all of those things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, if you love those things and everything it offers, and the Bible says you're a friend of it, then you're an enemy of God. Look at that. You're an enemy of God. Because there's two kings, two strategies, right? But there's only one loyalty. You can't love them both. And the Bible's making it clear. If you love it, if you love all of that, then you're an enemy of God. That's all there's to it. You're an enemy of God. So Satan then wants you to be a Judas Iscariot, a traitor to your Lord. So he's controlling the world's philosophy, the world's thinking, so that you then could love what he has to offer. But we should hate the world and all that it stands for. So James 1:27 says this, this is true religion. To love the orphan and the widow, and to keep yourself unstained from the world. From the world. Wow. And so I want you to follow me now. Everybody listen. Those of you who are sleeping, wake up real quick. Alright? Listen to what it says. Satan allures with pleasure and philosophy and fame and lust and ego and pride. Watch this. With indifference. So if he can get you to just go to church and get bored with the message, because God is only going to work through the preaching of the message, you hear that? He's not going to change it. And so the churches that start trying to change it to make church cool, and let's make Jesus sound cool, and let's dance when we preach in the church so it'll be cool, and let's show a movie, and let's not talk about that, that's not being biblical. God is going to always work through the preaching of the Word of God.
Period.
That's how He works. So He's not going to change the strategy for you. All right, so if He can get you to just go to church, get bored with the message, not to be active, not to participate, don't take any responsibility, don't be holy, don't read your Bible and pray, don't do that either. We get you to be rude to your parents and to date a non-believing boy or girl, then He has you right where He wants you. He has you right where He wants you. He has you serving His kingdom even though you say you're a Christian. That's exactly the plan. That's the plan. And so, the plan of Jesus is this. He saves you from sin and hell. He worked out a plan for your life before the foundation of the world so that you can be holy and hate Satan and try to take some of His people who are in sin and lost and to bring them into His kingdom. Yes, you have to deny yourself of lust, of pleasures, of all kinds of things if you're going to follow the Lord Jesus. He doesn't pretend that it's going to be fun and easy. And yes, you will lose out. Yes, you will lose out on a lot of things. That's right. But Jesus said it's worth it to lose out.
Hallelujah.
To deny yourself. To carry your cross. He who wants to follow me, pick up your cross and follow me. Die to yourself. But He's saying again, it's invisible, but it's eternal. You're going to get rewarded for denying yourself during this time on earth. Do we believe the Bible? Do you believe that's true? Is Jesus your King? Are you loyal to Him? Now that you're part of the kingdom of light. And so the Bible says in Proverbs, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Then it goes on to say, give me your heart. Give me your heart. So it said, what Jesus is saying is, I don't want you to secretly be desiring Satan's kingdom and what he has to offer. He doesn't want you to be fooled like Eve and saying to thinking, oh, God's holding back. I'm losing out. God is just keeping things from you. Why can't you go to the party? Why can't you do the thing right now? And so the Bible keeps saying, give me your heart, my son. Give me your heart. So here's the thing. When Jesus writes to the church in Revelation of Ephesians, He says this. Here's the issue. Not that you're not going to church, because they were going to church. Not that you don't know good doctrine, because they knew good doctrine. They can tell you how to be saved. Here's the problem. You don't love me. That's the bottom line problem. Your heart is somewhere else. And if your heart is somewhere else, Satan's got you right where he wants you. Right where he wants you. That's his strategy. You have to understand that reality. That's his strategy. To get you, like he did to Eve, to not love the Lord Jesus, to think that God is, you know, somehow doing him wrong. Jesus doesn't change his strategy. Deny yourself. Be holy. Wait. Be pure. Turn off the computer. Quit lusting. Quit being prideful. He's not going to change his strategy. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep trying to win people into the kingdom because they're lost and going to hell. That's right. That's the plan. So there's two kings, two kingdoms, two strategies, but you can only have one loyalty. You can't love them both. You know the old song back when I was young? Torn between two lovers, feeling like a fool. Loving you both is breaking all the rules. That kind of song will go out. Stupidities. Stupidities. Jesus doesn't put up with that. I'm not going to tolerate you loving Satan's kingdom and his world and everything he has to offer. You're going to love me with all of your heart. None of this torn between two lovers business with him. In fact, let me put it to you this way. 1 Corinthians 16:22. Now listen. Whoever does not love the Lord Jesus let him be accursed. And again I say, let him be accursed. Jesus wants your heart. He wants your loyalty completely. He doesn't want a divided heart. He wants all of your loyalty. There's two kings, two kingdoms, two strategies, but there can only be one loyalty. And Jesus wants your loyalty. He wants your heart. He wants to use you so that you can come for all eternity. So where's your heart? I'm going to read it again. Whoever does not love the Lord Jesus, let him be accursed. Look at that. And again I say, let him be accursed. So do not love the world. Do not be its friend. But love the Lord Jesus and be totally devoted to him. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And your word is so different from the world. Totally opposite. The world is so alluring because it's visible and it offers the pleasures now. And the kingdom of Jesus is eternal and we have to wait. But that's why we live by faith and not by sight. Lord Jesus, forgive us if we have loved the world and not been totally devoted to you. Help us through the Holy Spirit to fall in love with Jesus. And we pray this in his name.